right, what's going on, everybody? Once again, to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McFeeney. Alongside me, also, of course, there's Joe DiCapita.
That's right. What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back. If you're new to the show and you're just tuning in, could you do us a huge favor? Head over to YouTube, Grumblings Media right there. Hit that subscribe button for us. Get those thumbs up. Hit the thumbs up there. Get some, drop some comments down below. We are going to react to you guys, whether you want to share an opinion or if you want to ask a question. We're here for you guys. Also, make sure you share the hell out of that video. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Grumblings Media. You can also find us on Rumble.com. And anywhere you get your podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, iTunes, you name it, we're there. Google as well. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. And we got a kind of like a mishmash, jam-packed NFL news show for you guys today.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, Joe. And first of all, I want to say thanks to Big John because we recorded a session with him last night, and that's going to be debuting this week. So
Thursday, I believe.
Big John's Big Questions. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you guys look for that on grumblingsmedia.com, like Joe said, and anywhere you can find your podcast. A lot of fun. We thank him, and you guys definitely should check that stuff out if you wanted to also dig down deep and
get
see a little
us.
Bit more of us, I guess. We'll see. But all right, so, Joe, I guess one of the bigger headlines prior week or so has been about Trevor Lawrence's deal. And we talked about this last week a little bit, which when we were kind of grading our quarterbacks. Both you and I didn't really have him very high. Mm-hmm. You know, which some people could under even stand too as well, because he's kind of been underwhelmingly, you know, out there since he's been drafted. And when you're drafted at such a high point where he was too, and kind of be expected to be that savior for the Jags, not really turned out. And now getting this big deal, the focus has really been turned on him a lot, you know, so you see people in the media, especially coming around and trying to do comparisons now. And we've seen the different comparisons I've seen, at least with Gardner Minshew and my guy Daniel Jones. So very similar numbers if you look at particular starts and what criteria you want to look at. But and then you look at the contracts, they all don't line up. So people are obviously saying, hey, what are we getting for this price? Maybe the Giants are now getting a deal or whatnot, or who would you rather have now instead of paying Trevor Lawrence and stuff. So now all the critics are coming out.
That's right. And you know, and that's the thing too, is like, we had the debate on the show before about Trevor Lawrence. Do you give him a contract? Do you look to maybe move on from him? And the Jaguars, obviously they've made their decision and they plan on keeping him at least to probably about when he's 30 years old is when they're going to probably have to make a decision whether they want to extend him and kind of spread out the finances a little bit further, or if they want to even just flat out move on from him. Because we know, like, the last 2 years of the deal, in 2031 and 2032, when he's 32 years old and 33, those are void years. Like, they don't even really count. It's only for the financial part of it to kind of spread out the money. But other than that, I mean, they got him at least until he's 30. You know, and 31, he's still kind of on the books, but I got to say, that's when the money jumps up big time, is when he's 30 years old. Then his base salary goes up to $50 million, 53 when he's 31. But before that, the first 5 years of the deal, the base salary is really low. What they did is they just backloaded this whole contract. Mm-hmm. So from the first year, it's $1.5 million. Nothing, right? But every year for the next 5 years, he has a low base salary, but the signing bonus is spread out too. So $7.5 million on top of his base salary, he's going to be getting for the first 5 years of the deal. So I think the Jaguars did a really good job of orchestrating and constructing the contract to help the team now and for the next 5 years before they even have to make a decision on him again. To where they're limiting the amount of cap casualty, if you want to say that they might have to face when that time comes 5 years later, where they're really going to have to make a decision. But other than that, they did a really good job of figuring out how to still sign the quarterback, but also at the same time, it gives them a little bit of freelance, free, you know, freeway of space to where they can add free agents along the way while he's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, in the, like we said, the numbers looks really, really bad for him right now. And but like you said, Joe, you push the money to the back end. It's the way the structure is, so it works out for them. And you know, it is time for him to really kind of step up though and show what he is here too. So he's kind of betting on himself on this whole contract as well. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because when I was looking at you know, our rankings that we did last week, I was looking at Pro Football Talk's rankings too, and they had him. I swear, Trevor Lawrence had to have been near the top 10.
Yeah,
it was pretty crazy. And yeah. I was looking at their top 10, and I thought it was a little different here. I know a lot of the same guys there, you know, that you're going to expect, you know, mm-hmm. your Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, and Josh Allen. But the fact that they thought of Trevor Lawrence so highly when – again, when you're looking at a lot of these similar numbers, and nobody's talking about Gardner Minshew, nobody's talking about, and they're always dogging Daniel Jones and said, hell, he's still got to prove himself, or he's just no good now. He's just right. It. That's it, you know. And they had him rated so high. I think it's kind of funny of how they see him. Mm-hmm. But then within that same breath, like I said, turn around and try and compare him to Daniel Jones and some of these other guys. But they've got weapons around him now, so you can only see that he could possibly do better. You know, the trajectory should be going up forward. Because, again, Dennis could over in turn still look like a terrible deal here for the Jags. But they
better get it together.
We'll see if they get it together, and he better. You know, I'm confident that he will. You know, as they're looking at it again, I don't think he's really terrible. It's just, you know, right now where he is at this point, it's just not there. So, I think bigger news too, on top of the news is also T. Higgins. He ends up signing his 1-year deal here with the Bengals. So, you know, they come to terms here, and he's going to play this 1 year. And then what does this mean for the future of T. Higgins, though, Joe? I mean, to move on after this year and be a highly touted free agent after this?
Yeah, that's what it seems like anyway, because as far as negotiations go, it's dead in the water. There is mm-hmm. no movement at all. So, we thought this was going to happen this way too. It was like, even though talks weren't really happening as well as both parties would like, in the end, he was going to sign this franchise tag. And in the end, he's going to go home with $21 million for playing this year. And why not stay in a place that you're comfortable with and not try to, you know, create too much waves, this season and try to get traded or something like that. So, he's going to stay with Joe Burrow for at least this year, but what it looks like right now is that everybody around, you know, the Bengals building and people on the outside, they're all hearing the same thing. They're all thinking the same thing, that this might be T. Higgins' last year in a Bengals uniform, and he's going to be a pretty, you know, coveted free agent if he is to test the free agency market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and what kind of, you know, contract would that mean for some of these guys again? Because he's kind of been that guy that's been behind, you know, Jamar Chase ever since, you know, he entered the league in here with Jamar. Would a franchise kind of see him as? Would they try to mm-hmm. take him as that number one? Or again, is what's it worth for a number two? And what's number two money to some of these people here? So I'm interested to see what kind of contract that's going to end up being at the end of the season here.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you really dial it down, you can guess, because you look at other wide receivers that have signed that are viewed more as like a wide receiver two or even a wide receiver three, a slot receiver. So T. Higgins, to be honest with you, isn't a wide receiver one at all, like not even close. Wide receiver two, you can argue that he is or isn't, but he really thrives in the slot where mm-hmm. he can do some major damage. Mm-hmm. So I still think he's an excellent talent, and no matter where he goes or even if he does, in fact, do a new deal, you know, this upcoming offseason and stays with the Bengals, no matter what happens, he's going to be an asset for any team that gets the guy. So I think he's definitely – I know that he himself and his agent are looking for wide receiver one money, it's not going to happen
mm-hmm.
unless you get a desperate team and they just do something stupid and they're like, here, we'll give you whatever you want. Here's a blank check. Fill it out. But other than that, like, I definitely could see him get, like, kind of wide receiver two money, or maybe in between wide receiver three and two money, to where you might see him not sign for anything like crazy, like $20 million a year, but you might see him get paid $12 million, anywhere from $12 to $16 million a year. I think that would be an adequate amount of money for T. Higgins, and might be able to get him to sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, and what's funny is when those guys are asking for money like that, you're kind of like, wow, man, you need to really kind of reevaluate yourself. I know you want to try and bet on whatever you can and get what you can, but
right.
When you guys got like Brandon Ayuk again trying to argue what he's got a better leg to stand on than,
right.
than somebody like T. Higgins, and I'm sure he's kind of in that same conversation, or he wants to be, to where now we see with Ayuk again. This is a very difficult situation here with the 49ers, and the 49ers are saying they're still dropping money out there, just and that they're saying that negotiations are dead yet, but it doesn't look very good right now for Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers right now, but especially with the cryptic TikToks that have been out there and things like that. But I think if he ends up sticking with the team and then become the free agent next year or whatnot, that could dictate some of this money and where that's going to be, especially for a T. Higgins.
Well, as far as Ayuk goes, that like players do that all the time, though. Like every time there's like a new contract that they're trying to get done, or they want the team to like kind of like, you know, hey, let's have some urgency here. Let's get this deal done. You know what I mean? There's these little tactics that players do where they might hold out for one mandatory camp practice or they might go on social media and they do these videos like the Jaden Daniels video that they just did. Like Ayuk was FaceTiming Jaden Daniels and he's like, dude, I told you they don't want me. They said to go kick rocks. Like, no, the Niners definitely don't want Ayuk to leave. Like they want to try to get a deal done. They want him to stay a 49er for sure. And that's not going to change. They're still going to work their hardest to kind of get a deal done. And I've heard rumors about a contract that was offered, and we can talk about it right now, that the number that was being thrown around is that the Niners did, in fact, offer him $26 million a year as a wide receiver. Now, to be honest, if I'm Ayuk, I'm taking that money. I'm taking the $26 million a year. I don't have to be that. Like, I feel like we always kind of – look at these players, and there's always like an ego element to it where they always want to be the highest paid to kind of like for bragging rights or just to say like, hey, I'm the highest paid, so I'm the better receiver type of deal. You know what I mean? So I feel like that happens all the time, and Ayuk is still trying to like maybe get the Niners to be like, hey, let's just barely eclipse the number for Justin Jefferson that what he just received. But that'll never happen. We all know that. So for the Niners, they gave a very generous first offer, $26 million a year, and I don't know why there's any hesitation on Ayuk and his agent's part. And who knows, maybe his agent is still talking like, hey, this is a good deal for us, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Let's kind of get this done.
Right now.
But, I mean, I just don't understand the stalemate that has been created by Ayuk, by the way. It's not the organization.
Yeah, right.
It's more Ayuk saying, you guys don't appreciate me. You didn't use me in the playoffs as much as you should have. And now I'm upset and you're going to have to get in contact with me. I'm not talking to you. So it's like, I don't know what the course is going to end up. Is he going to sign a deal? Most likely, I think it's going to happen. But as of right now, he doesn't want to have the conversation, you know, or sit down or whatever. So I think right now it's just that they're kind of sitting on their hands and they're waiting for somebody to move, waiting for somebody to move that chess piece. And when that happens, we've seen this time and time again that once one side or the other moves a little bit, then things start to get rolling and they get a deal done. So I think in the end, Ayuk is going to stay a Niner. I would be shocked if for some reason he just still like stays, you know, locked in and doesn't budge and it ends up being a bigger deal than what it has to be. But I just think that I think right now it is what it is and they're still talking.
All right. We've got back to the Stone Age is with us again here tonight.
Come on, back.
All right, what does he have to say over there?
He said, yo, Blitz dudes, you guys think that the wide receiver position is going to go the way of the running backs, question mark? Meaning it seems like you can always get a good wide receiver in the draft. No need to hand out too much cap space to wide receivers. It's an excellent question, and it's something that we've kind of, you know, hit back and forth. That's something that we talked about, not just wide receivers, but also quarterbacks. Salaries are getting sky high, getting crazy amount of money, and it does hit the cap significantly hard. Wide receivers now are getting up there. Guards. Offensive guards are making more money than ever before. And it's just going from one position to the next, except for running backs. Mm-hmm. But at some point, the same thing that happened to running backs is going to happen to these other positions.
Yeah.
Now, maybe quarterback might be like kind of tempered down a little bit more, but I feel like there's going to be a breaking point with wide receivers, with guards, with tackles, with D tackles, D ends, because pass rushers get a ton of money too. Everybody's getting a lot of money, bottom line. Mm-hmm. But I definitely could foresee something happening where the owners do come together, and maybe it doesn't happen altogether, but maybe position by position, they start to be like, well, we're not paying this guy this kind of money anymore. We're not paying this position or that position. We're gonna use the funds elsewhere. So I definitely could foresee that happening.
Yeah, and you know, I've talked about this a bunch of different times, and you know, the market really does have to reset itself, and potentially will, like you're saying, too. And the receivers, you know, they've always been this type of diva thing and stuff like that, and it's been this way for a very long time. But as the pool of receivers, how everybody is getting actually so much better too, and you can find great receivers. Like we were talking about this in the draft even too. It's very rare that even high, you know, you used to see, you know, even a lot of, you know, wide receivers go early and stuff like that, because you can get depth. You can get a lot of value further on. Mm-hmm. So to pay, like, you know, the money Justin Jefferson and here and there for that star guy, I don't see that being a major trend everywhere, because yes, I understand that's probably their best, you know, player here, and he's a game changer for them, you know, right now. But you can find value in a lot of different wide receivers out there, and you don't need to pay the high price. We've seen this work with the Patriots, and this is why Tom Brady has even been kind of saying this to everybody and promoting this to younger players and stuff like that. Again, stop making it about you, because it's not about you. It's about, you know, if you want to achieve what you want, you don't have to be special. You have to commit. You have to work hard. You have to do all these other different things. And then, you know, it'll set up for yourself. You know what I mean? And he's preaching that. And it makes sense out there. And ownership really needs to take a hold of this as well and move forward with it. Because, yeah, I believe what Stone Age is kind of talking about, I think that should happen. I think it's going to take a little bit, though, too. But I think as we're getting the wide receivers out there, and it's not a knock to that, you know, you shouldn't pay these wide receivers because they're just not good.
They deserve.
It's just that there's so many good ones that you're kind of – why pay the astronomical amounts when you can find something somewhere else for just about the right type of price, you know?
Yeah, and I'm all for everybody getting paid if they deserve to be paid, you know, when they have a huge raise and they deserved it because – they showed up and showed out and stayed healthy and all that, and they go to work every day. I'm all for it. But there's a certain point where you're like, this is approaching greed, right? Like, this is approaching, like, I want to have the biggest number. Right. I want to show to everybody that I'm the highest paid. So, therefore, in my mind, maybe that means to them, like, I'm the best. You know, and there's that ego thing that always comes to play, where you got to wonder with some of the players, not everybody, but some of these players, they're always thinking that way. So, like Ayuk, right now, currently, is making $14 million.
Yeah.
Now, for the 49ers to come out and say, hey, we're going to give you not only a raise, but a significant raise and give you $26 million a year, to me, that's like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now let's talk details of the contract. Now we settled on the number. Let's talk details or bonuses or whatever. So I think it's a great starting point for the 49ers and their organization. Now the ball is in your court, Brandon.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to pass? Or are you going to take the shot?
Yep, and you know, I was hearing too that you know in the locker rooms the wide receivers talk about it amongst themselves all the time, and it, like you said, it's an ego thing. They really care about average per year. I heard that when Jalen Waddle got his deal in the Miami Dolphins locker room, Odell Beckham Jr. and Tyreek Hill, you know, they're saying they're calling him 28 now. You know, not even by his number and things like that. They're calling 28 because that's how much he makes a year.
Yeah, right.
So that's what they're paying attention to, yeah. And that's what they're focusing on. So they're like, all right, I'm going to be that next guy with that. So it's a big thing. You know, like we said, the wide receiver divas and stuff like that, they think about it all the time. But I think there needs to be, you know, a reset. But, again, on the same opposite side, what I keep saying it the other way, they see that the league makes more money, so – hand it out over here. You guys are making tons. We got to start seeing some of this. And you know, that's what happens. But great question.
Yeah.
We love that. Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Keep it coming in, guys. If you're tuning in, you're watching, whatever, don't be shy. Drop a comment. Whether it's something that you guys want to talk about, hey, we could do that. Or just ask a question if you feel like, or if you just want to sit there and tune in, that's fine too.
Yeah, that reminds me even, too, when we're talking about the 49ers here. I was listening to Mike Florio, and he was bringing up a scenario, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
And he brought up Brock Purdy. All right, and Brock Purdy now, he thought that it would be very beneficial, and he might be one of the first to ever do this just because of what position he entered into the league, that if the Brock Purdy gets a deal signed like at the end of the season, not like end of the like whole season, but end of the regular season before the playoffs start, it could be beneficial to him, but then also the team at the same time, because you see all these players and teams work out a deal after everything's all said and done.
Yep.
You had your playoffs. You get to see how far they made it. If they didn't make the playoffs, like Dak Prescott, oh boom, there's a negative for you,
right? Yeah,
but then players, on the other hand, say, you know, they make it, have a great regular season. Before they get into the playoffs, they have some kind of clause with you know, injury or whatever. Then playoffs are already out. It doesn't matter. They're already kind of locking you in. Mm-hmm. And it shows that they have support for you, too. You know what I'm saying? They're saying, hey, you're our guy. We want to get you locked in now. And then we believe in you for this playoffs and this upcoming season. And you don't wait till somebody else and there's a battle between three or four different top guys and they're going to be the next one up and then you're going to get hit in the pocket as an owner.
Right.
So I thought it was a very interesting scenario, and the fact that this guy, again, one of the, you know, the last picked in the draft, how he's playing is astronomical.
It's crazy.
We think he's great. Yeah. And then the fact that he could be the guy that kind of breaks this mold and maybe be the first that after the regular season gets, boom, he gets a deal. He's locked in. He loves it. They love it. It's an equal deal, and it's good. What do you think about that scenario? You think that truly can happen at the end of this regular season this year?
Honestly, I think it could happen even earlier. It can happen mid-season even. Mm-hmm. It could even happen right after training camp. Like, there's no, like, definite time period where you can sign a player to an extension. So at any point in time this year, it's not only one smart to do because you're getting ahead of the next offseason where some other quarterbacks are going to be looking for a raise and looking for more money, to where I know it sounds insane, but if you sign him now, and he'll be up there. He'll be up there with the top five type of contracts because that's the market. That's the going rate. So if you found your starter, you're going to pay him X amount of dollars. And although it looks ludicrous, type of money up there, it's smart to do it now before you have to compete with other contracts. Just like receivers, Justin Jefferson and the Vikings, they agreed to a deal. Yes, his contract is crazy, right? Very high number, $28 million a year, the highest non-quarterback ever to be paid. But now you're looking at what the Niners are looking at, and they're like, well, we don't want to make you the highest paid guy like that, but we'll give you close to it. Like, that's reasonable to start a conversation. And with Brock Purdy, you always know that the money is going to continue to go up, because as the cap goes up, the top end money and the threshold the meter keeps going up higher, higher and higher. So let's get ahead of the game. Let's make a decision now. Let's try to get a deal done. And before you know it, before the off season comes where you're going to have several other quarterbacks looking for new deals, and it's like, well, we don't have to worry about that now. We're already paying our guy. We don't have to compete with another contract or have a debate with an agent of like, well, my client is this. He should be up here. So I think that's a smart way to do business, especially in the NFL. If you can get ahead of the game, get a deal done, and now it's like you don't have to compete with future contracts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be very interesting. And, yeah, if it does, I think that would be the organization to do it. And I think that leads into something smarter for the team who has those all those talented players on there and trying to figure out contracts if they can lock this guy in at mm-hmm. a decent price for them. And that's, you know, better for him and the team. So I think right. it would be definitely – that's probably the most logical spot for something like this to occur.
Yeah, one thing, too, is this is how funny this is. Brock Purdy's not going to know what to do with the money he gets because right now he's only making just under $1 million.
Right.
Now this dude is going to go from just under $1 million to multiple millions of dollars. So big, huge raise in store for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, he's no longer going to need a roommate anymore. You know what I'm saying?
No.
He's going to be like, oh, what do I do with this now? Right. Yeah, this is going to be – this is something
you
that's
very
different.
You mean I can
move
different. Out now?
Yes, yes.
Nice.
Very, very different. Yeah, so – Yeah, so, I mean, that's something interesting coming up in the season when we roll up in it. Mm-hmm. So, speaking about Mike Florio and these guys, there was some articles we've been looking around at and different things, and we saw one that popped up, and that was from Bleacher Report. And they have 9 players that will live up to the hype this upcoming season. So I think this is something that we can take a look at and kind of go through and see if you guys agree with it or not. Let us know in the definitely. Comments if you agree, whether we agree or not. So, I mean, it'll be pretty interesting. First on their list, they have C.J. Stroud. They think C.J. Stroud, after a good rookie season, is going to come back this season too and still live up to the hype and do his thing. I know he definitely thinks he is, you know. So, Joe, what do you think about this and him living up to the hype?
Yeah, I mean, when you just mentioned that, like, Stroud thinks he's going to do well. Not only does he think that, he thinks so much of himself that he should be in the top 3 of quarterbacks right now after just doing a rookie year. Yes, he had great success as a rookie, of course. But now teams have more defensive film tape on you. They're going to look for tendencies, what you like to do, what you don't do as well. And they're going to attack those weaknesses. So it's going to be very interesting this year to see how Stroud reacts to the defenses, and if he can still continue that success and maybe even have greater success. So I think it's going to be – I honestly think Stroud is going to continue on an upward trend still because the team didn't stagnate. You know what I mean? They didn't stay stale, you know, in the offseason. They added even more weaponry, better defensive talent, better offensive talent. Like, it looks – insane. Their roster looks so much better, and their roster was good last year. A lot of rookies stepped up and played great, but now coming into this year, now they added Diggs to go with Nico Collins, to go with a healthy Tank Dell, to go mm-hmm. with that backfield that they're going to put together. So I just think that the team offensively and defensively got so much more better, more improved mm-hmm. that the team is – there's no doubt that they are going to continue their success. So they're going to be a very difficult team to deal with, and I think Stroud will continue his success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I really like about him is the fact that, again, it's hard for a rookie quarterback to go in there and command – you know, the team, you're the leader, right? So how do you get a bunch of guys that are even older than you to go in there, believe in what you're doing, take command and kind of be that guy? And he kind of just rolled right up in there. They stood behind him. And a lot of people, like the common fan, don't even know, you know, about a Tank Dell and Nico Collins and stuff like that. They're like, mm-hmm. yeah, whatever. Who are you? These guys, you know, they got nothing. You know, you're talking about, you know, the Tua, and he has, you know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and all these other guys have all these stars. You know, Josh Allen had, mm-hmm. you know, Stephon Diggs and stuff, blah, blah, blah. He didn't really have a whole lot. You know, he had good talent, a lot of no-name talent, though. You know, that's what I mean. And look what they did, and now you're adding on to it. And you can only assume that this guy is going to be the limit for this guy. And if you look at the numbers that he put up, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, something like that, it's tough to kind of equal that. But if he does, and the way he kind of, like I said, and he commanded the huddle and things like that in his team, that trajectory already, to me, is better than what Patrick Mahomes is doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that 100%. Is what kind of impact that is. So, if he can, I think that's going to see – that will jump him definitely into the top five. But for me, I just think that's a tough thing to accomplish. I hope he does, but I don't know. You know. So, I mean, it's an interesting topic. So, I think it would be cool. I mean, it seems like he could, but, you know.
Yeah, if you're a new quarterback like that, Jim, the only way you earn trust and respect is by displaying it on the football field. So, veterans that were already on the team were watching him and seeing how confident he was, seeing his work ethic. He was working a ton, throwing all the time, getting extra reps in practice, after practice, with his receiver. So they saw it firsthand, and that's what breaks that barrier as a rookie. That's what you have to show the vets, that you're all in. You're nothing but football. You're not partying. You're not going, staying out late at night. You know, you're all in. You're working like crazy to get better, and you're always there. So that's what they saw as veterans, and they bought into the kid, because how could you not? That just shows you that he's there and wants to be great.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up on the list, they have Brian Burns for the New York Giants here. I can agree with this one definitely too, just because you saw what he was able to do on a losing team again with the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Now you move him over to the Giants. They've been looking for a guy like this. You know what I mean? I didn't like the whole Thibodeau draft, you know, and bringing him on. I didn't think he was going to do a whole lot. And since then, he's kind of been underwhelming too, as it seems. This can only even kind of help elevate him in a sense too, because if they're trying to stop Burns from getting in there, that might give Thibodeau a little more chance to get in there, but he just hasn't done it. So I don't think I can really expect that he's going to do a lot more here. I think this is what the Giants really needed, and I think this is going to be big for the Giants, and he's going to have a good year for these guys.
Yes, and some guys just aren't immediate impacts too. It doesn't matter where you draft them. They just don't show up yet. And if you watch Thibodeau's career so far, yeah, he's been a little lackluster. He hasn't been the impact that the Giants were hoping for right away. So, but what I did notice last year is that you notice him make a few more plays, and it gives you encouragement, like, you know, maybe he is developing now. Maybe he is getting better. And this is only going to help him, because not only that he has Brian Burns opposite side of him, but also Brian Burns is going to help him get better in mm-hmm. practice. It's going to teach him a few things that maybe he doesn't know about, little nuances of the game, you know, as a pass rusher. So to get him to be better. So I think that not only defensively, it's going to make that front seven better, but at the same time, Thibodeau's going to benefit from having Burns on the opposite side.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so moving on. Next, they've got Jordan Love, the quarterback from the Green Bay Packers. This one's tough too, again, because I liked what I saw with him. With the Packers, really showed a lot of different things, poise, accuracy, and it was kind of weird because you heard the different narratives from the whole Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love type of deal, to where he was not ready or whatever, and Aaron Rodgers was fighting pushback though too, so right. Maybe he was, but yep. There was so much pushback that it was just not working out. They thought he was ready, but just couldn't get out there because they had to deal with Aaron, and it was almost like a. You know, you weren't sure. It was a mystery. And then all of a sudden it unfolded to you. You're like, whoa, where did this come from? So we're kind of shocked, I guess, in a sense. So for the fact that they expect that he can do it again, I hope so. But for me, it's kind of just been a mystery this whole time. Has he been this guy? You know, I don't know. He's been there for a few years. And now we finally start to see him come out here, and he looks right. He looks ready. But can he do it multiple years in a row, or was it just, you know, he came out, we got it, and then now people are going to start pressing him more, and, you know, we'll see this upcoming season. But I don't know. They're expecting that he's going to live up to the hype.
Yeah, I mean, for Jordan Love, like, let's face it. Yeah, he was sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers have done this before. Remember Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Brett Favre? You know, they did the same exact development, you know, system that they did when they had Rodgers behind Favre. So, yeah, of course he wasn't going to see the field. Yeah, he could have been this good the whole entire time. And I think it just goes to show you that the Packers as an organization, They've been so smart with handling that position, and they're never behind the eight ball. So they knew what they had in Love, and we saw a small glimpse of Jordan Love when Rodgers got hurt, and he stepped in for him for a few games, mm-hmm. and he showed highlight. He had some highlights, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. legit highlights. You're like, whoa, wait, damn, he's got that kind of an arm? Wow, look at the zip on the ball. Accurate, too, like being smart with it, not turning the ball over. No bonehead plays, really, you know. So he was limited in that aspect, where he limited all the bonehead plays and mistakes that a young quarterback would normally make. But then, okay, Rodgers is like, they had the little turmoil, like, is Rodgers staying, going, whatever. And honestly, I think the Packers got fed up with Rodgers's lack of, like, actually, it was on both sides, right? Like, Rodgers pleaded and wanted receiving weapons. He just wanted them to help him get this offense where it needs to be, so then I can take over and I can get it, score some more points and help us win games that way. But the front office was a little weird, because it seemed like they didn't really help Rodgers while he was there, and that kind of led to that friction, and Rodgers ended up getting out of there and going to the Jets. Here comes Jordan Love. Now, Jordan Love, they're like, oh, we got this new kid, Jordan Love. We're going to surround him with talent that Rodgers been asking for. So he was it was like a perfect storm for Jordan Love, because not only did they, in fact, get the young influxion of talent they were able to surround him with, but he also capitalized with that talent. And we saw it last year. He didn't just have a good year. He had a really great year. Like, for a first-year quarterback, finally got his opportunity. He really showed everybody around the NFL that he is legit, he is here, and he's ready to go. So I think with a team that has been improved yet again, that there's no other way to think. But, yeah, he's going to be ascending and going to be one of those better quarterbacks in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they right now they have him the fifth best odds for league MVP. Which I think is pretty crazy, too. And the fact that the Green Bay Packers now entrust him to call his own plays now, too, on top of it all, shows what kind of trust that they have in him as well to help run this offense. Next, they have Christian Wilkins, a D tackle from the Raiders, Joe. Mm. What do you think about this one?
I mean, here's the weird thing. I mean, I'm a Raiders fan, and I still don't understand how the Raiders defense went from, like, one of the worst defenses to, by the end of the year, was seen as, like, a top 10, almost the number one defense. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I watch the games. But I think for Christian Wilkins, I don't think that guy is so dynamic and such a powerful D tackle. One of the best in the league right now, currently.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with the Texans early in his career. They drafted him, went to the Dolphins, still had an amazing career there, and then now he's with the Raiders. But you're teaming him up with another deadly weapon in Max Crosby, one of the best pass rushers in this league, and they're playing next to each other now. So, and then there's some other untapped talent that we're still going to monitor and see if, like, maybe Malcolm Kuntz can yet again step up again. I think he had like 9 sacks last year opposite Crosby. If he can step that game up a little more, that D-line looks pretty dangerous on paper right now. But Christian Wilkins, I definitely think it's not going to be – he's not overhyped, I guess is what I'm saying. He's definitely the real deal, and now you're teaming him up with a tag team partner there and Max Crosby, that it's going to be fun to watch. Let's just say that.
Yeah, definitely. He's the second highest paid out of D tackles, right? Only to Chris Jones. Impressive numbers: 355 tackles, 43 tackles for loss, and 20.5 sacks in his 5 seasons. Like you said, Max, put him right there with Max Crosby. So you got this guy on the interior, you got Max there too, and it's good for that, because again, what was the kind of thing? Everybody trying to just stop Max Crosby. They try. You know what I mean? That was their idea, though. That's what they had to try and do, which is stop this dude. But now you got this guy coming up through the inside and stuff like mm-hmm. that, too. So I think it's going to only help that defense. And I can see where, yes, he can live up to that hype, absolutely, and actually help that defense and be a strong point for them in the coming season here.
Yeah, and that team has been in dire straits for a good D-tackle. Not even a great D-tackle, just a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're finally able to yes, they paid him a lot of money, but that's what you have to do with some of these big time players. Yeah. You have to pay them and give them a raise. So look, I'm curious. I just can't wait to see a lot of these players that have already been named on this list. So far, I'm just like, yes, 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 yes. I'm waiting for a curveball to be thrown in here.
All right, and the next one they have, for me, is interesting. Marquise Brown, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Now, it's weird because, for me, just the title of the whole article and the fact that, you know, live up to the hype.
Right.
It's been many years. Yeah, so, and where's the hype here? I know Marquise Brown had some, you know, Hollywood Brown coming into the whole league and all his other nonsense and stuff.
Right.
So I guess he hasn't yet. But now that he's, you know, on a team with Patrick Mahomes now all of a sudden – now he's lived up to the hype. Here he is. That doesn't really answer the question here for me. Because, again, you've got Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball, and there's literally nobody there right now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys vacated, and then their lower depths, you know, are getting in legal trouble and stuff. So what are we going to do here? So, I mean, you only have the option to throw it to Marquise Brown or Travis Kelce. You know what I'm saying? So he can benefit from being on the Chiefs, which I get that. But as far as living up to the hype, I don't see that in this one.
Yeah, I'm perplexed with this one because even when he was playing with the Baltimore Ravens, and that's where he started his career, like that, we all know that team has been desperate for a wide receiver, and they drafted, you know, Marquise Brown and thought that he was going to be the answer for them, but they don't typically throw a whole lot. So we saw him here and there, like kind of make some splash plays once in a while, but nothing consistent. So maybe that's attributed to the Baltimore Ravens offense and how they run it. But then he ends up going to Arizona, and we're like, okay, we're teaming up with Kyler Murray, let's see. And he had a better season, but still not number one-esque type of wide receiver numbers. Mm-hmm. Wasn't great. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. And then now you're bringing him to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are like, we got our guy. We got our speedster. We got our number one guy. And it looks good on paper, right? Like Rashee Rice, you know, Hollywood Brown. Like, it looks good. And maybe they do have some improvement there. But there's a lot of question marks. Like, Jim just brought it up about legal problems. We talk about legal problems. The Chiefs this offseason have been in crazy trouble. Rashee Rice, we still don't even know if he's going to even be able to play. We don't know if he's going to get a suspension. Maybe he misses half the year. Like, we don't know what's going to happen with that. Still going through the courts and trying to deal with those legalities. But that right there is a huge question mark. Because if Rashee Rice isn't available, it's all on Hollywood Brown. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? And this guy doesn't have the most consistent hands either.
Mm-hmm.
They got a better wide receiver, in my opinion, than MVS. But still a guy that's still a little inconsistent with his hand. So if that's the case, and Rashee Rice isn't going to be around for at least a while, who knows, maybe it might be longer. But then Hollywood Brown, you got to step up. I haven't seen this guy step up yet and be that true number one type of wide receiver. So this one right here, Jim, I got to like kind of like push back on with this article here and just say I haven't seen the hype yet. We're still waiting on him to wake up and show us what he can do.
Right, and in the report they bring up the fact that he had just one 1,000-yard season with the Baltimore Ravens, and the quote that they have for Patrick Mahomes, again, doesn't sound – they see it as it sounds promising. For me, it seems like we're giving this guy a shot, and the more he does it, you know, he has more shots. You know, because where it is, Mahomes says, I've seen it the entire offseason from working in Texas to here. He told reporters, I'm giving him chances – down the field, and he's making the plays happen. The more plays he makes, the more we'll continue to give him those chances. A good addition to our offense. You know what I mean? I'm just listening and hearing those key words. He's still getting chances, and we're going to keep giving him chances the more plays he makes.
Yep.
Not like this guy's constantly making changes or big plays, and you know we're confident in him. He can do anything we want. I just throw it up to him, and he's got it. I have no problems. You don't hear any of that. It just seems like the more he does, we're going to keep giving him more opportunities.
That's like the Marquez Valdez-Scantling fear in the back in the back of his head. Like, oh, man, please don't be another one of those type of receivers where you're wide open deep 60 yards down the field and I throw it to you and you drop it. You know, so like I feel like that's what it is. It's a little bit of fear that maybe they have – I think he's an upgrade, but at the same time, he's not the most consistent. So, like, and they know that from practice, mm-hmm. obviously, because mm-hmm. when Patrick Mahomes says words it that way, we're giving him chances. Every time he capitalizes on that chance, we're giving him even more chances. So it's like, it doesn't strike me as Mahomes being really confident in the fact that they have Hollywood Brown. Right. But on the other side of it, they don't want to talk bad about him or even allude to maybe some inconsistent play on his part, because that will just kind of damage that relationship.
Right.
But I get what you're saying, Jim, and from what Mahomes is telling us, like, hey, we're going to keep feeding him the ball as long as he can make the plays, but if he turns out to be another MVS for us, then I'm going to kind of go away from him and we're going to find someone else to step up.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds more like spoon-fed, media-driven type of candy. You know, yeah, yeah. Because I even heard something similar, you know, I'll just bring up this quick, you know, with our local area. You know, we are not from Buffalo. We are from upstate New York in the Albany area. But, again, the talk around here, obviously, is the Buffalo Bills, again, because the Giants and the New York Jets suck at this point until this coming season, hopefully. But the fact that Stephon Diggs no longer there in Buffalo, they did a whole, you know, thing on Mac Hollins and what kind of impact he's going to have. You know, maybe he can fill that void that, you know, Stephon Diggs has left there, not being there. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. He's going to fill that void. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's a good story, you know, but, right. You know, you know, it's not going to be Mac Hollins. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. You know, so it's like, that's what kind of seems to me. It's like, hey, this guy's going to be an impact player now. You know, maybe. Yeah, he's going to do something, but, you know, I wouldn't go that far. But here we go. We've got Caleb Williams next on their list and their nine players that live up to the hype here. So I know Joe, obviously, again, with the way we've talked about him from draft night all the way until now and even on our list, we don't agree on this whole thing wholeheartedly. Again, for me, I think he's got a lot of moves that are Patrick Mahomes-esque, but he is not as polished as
far,
you know, and things like that. And that's what I agree on. So I think you're just going to see a lot of those mistakes, the turnovers and things like that, and look very poorly this season. But they have other options here, other things, you know, in their minds.
I'll say this. Like, I agree with everybody saying that, you know, a rookie quarterback going to a team like Chicago right now, that's never happened to a number one overall pick where they go to a better environment, better situation like Caleb. I get that. Mm-hmm. But Caleb as a quarterback now, here's where I have to, you know, warn Bears fans or even Caleb Williams fans right now that going to have to temper expectations, because this dude, even though he is talented, has tremendous arm talent. Yeah, he is mobile. You know, you just can't teach the things that he does. But at USC, he was very limited. He ran a one-read offense where you just basically drop back and you're supposed to throw it to A, B, or C receiver. And if the first read isn't there, make something happen. And that's why you saw him a lot of times hold on to the football, wasn't sure whether to let it go or not, run around the pocket, create even more time until he was able to find somebody open, or he just took off himself. So that is one problem. Another problem that me and Jim kind of like watched this kid is he's very emotional, and he lacks real true leadership that was displayed at USC. Mm-hmm. So got that going into a NFL veteran riddled team, you know, a team that you're going to try to earn their trust and earn their confidence and whatever. I'm not so sure how this is all going to play out in the end. I think that he can develop to be a starting quarterback, but I think he's so far behind in terms of catching up to the NFL level with the verbiage that he's going to have to learn on offense, calling the plays. And guess what, Caleb? You can't just throw it to the first option. You got to read defenses. You have to go through your progressions in the middle of the play. And there's so many other things that are going to be thrown at him. I just don't think this kid is going to be successful, especially in his first year. He might not be successful at all because of how far back he is behind the eight ball, so to speak, with everything that he's going to have to overcome. So, Caleb, I kind of disagree with this in the article. I don't think he's going to live up to the hype. And who's been more hyped than Caleb Williams? Nobody this year. So not only does he have a lot of pressure on him now, but he's also learning completely new things. Oh, yeah, by the way, he never took a snap under center. So that's another thing that he's going to have to learn how to do. So it's like all these things that he – all these hurdles that he's going to have to try to overcome, I think it's just going to be too much for him, and I don't think the hype is there.
Yep. So all right, next we've got on their list for the nine players that are going to live up to the hype, they have Jaden Daniels here for the Washington Commanders, a number two overall pick. I can see this one to an extent. Again, Commanders, they've been terrible for a very long time, and that offensive line has been very bad. So it could go very badly for him. But, you know, the what his skill set he has, though, I think fits well with this offense. And so what we're hearing from Dan Quinn and coaches out there is saying that he's doing really well. And McLaurin loves him, too, out there, too, as well. So, and then they're working together. And not only after practice, they want to try and work together too and get some more reps too, so they're seeing that camaraderie with each other and that work with the wide receivers. So and they have a lot of special players there too. Don't forget not only just Brian Robinson Jr., but they've got Austin Ekeler there now too. So to meet up with that offense and the other wide receivers that they are, Dotson, McLaurin. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Washington this year, but I can see something special with this kid. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels, one of my favorite quarterbacks coming out this year, was my favorite for a while. And I still think the kid's going to be tremendous. No matter where he ended up getting drafted, he was going to help out that team. Washington is no different there, but they have improved that offensive line. They've improved everything on that offensive side of the ball to where any rookie that came in was going to go into a better situation than what Washington was last season. That all being said, I really do like Jaden Daniels. I like – and he fits this offensive scheme to a T. Like, Cliff Kingsbury is going to love the fact to be able to utilize this kid's legs and his arm at the same time, a guy that can make all the throws, deadly accurate. And so I'm really excited for Jaden Daniels to see what he can do in his rookie year. But how do you deem success for a rookie, especially as a quarterback? Like, I think that I'm not going to go by record – because that's a team thing, but what you can do is as long as he limits mistakes, doesn't make too many of them, and does everything the right way, especially in his rookie year, if he can come to even, I would just say if he could come to half of what C.J. Stroud did, to me that would be success in his rookie year. So, and I think he's more than capable of that. So I really do like Jaden Daniels, and I think that he will live up to the hype.
All right, next on their list, they have Minnesota Vikings' Dallas Turner, the edge rusher here that they had just drafted here, Joe. I know, yeah, we had some mixed reviews on the draft night about this going through. What's your take on this one and what they think with this?
For Dallas Turner, to me, like when we were doing our scouting on him, I think he would be an excellent linebacker, like an outside linebacker. So I don't know how the Vikings are going to – you know, totally use him because I know the defensive end void is there and that's where they're going to want to kind of fit him right in and let him go after quarterbacks. Dallas Turner is still a little bit raw in terms of pass rushing moves and what have you. And yes, that can be taught over time and I get all that. But wasn't he won a lot in college with his just overall athletic ability. That's really what he did. He just outran linemen around the corner. You know, sometimes he would do a bull rush and surprise people. But I think at this level now, it's more detail refined and you got to figure out X's and O's and different plays. You're going to have to scheme up for him to get him free. I think at this level, he definitely needs to capitalize on learning more pass rush moves. Mm-hmm. If he can do that, he can make a difference in his first year. However, I have tempered expectations of him. I still think he's a little raw, still needs to figure out what he actually is, and that's part of the Vikings defensive coordinator and going to work with him to do that. But I view him as a way better outside linebacker talent than D-end. I hope that they make that transition at one point in time, but we will see. It sounds like he is going to play D-end his first year. I just think that he might struggle a little bit. Especially his rookie season.
Yeah. You would hope that Brian Flores would get something out of him and do, put him in the spot where he's going to excel. I know that Christian Darrisaw has been said to that he during practice put a spin move on somebody, and he said he got off it quicker than what Daniil Hunter used to do. So, but again, that's could be
just hype coming out of camp
just to try and get it going. So, but you're talking about new moves. Maybe he added a new spin move to it, Joe. Who knows?
Again, this is the funny part of the season where these practices, you're doing it in shorts. You're not going all out. Nobody is really blocking you that much. So it's a little inflated. I would just wait until we get to see preseason games.
Right.
Where now you're playing against a different opponent, not your teammates, where they're really going to try to stop you. So that's where we're going to have to come back to.
Yep. And it's funny too, when you talk about somebody like that, Daniil's gone. So that, of course, he's going to talk about the new guy that's up in here. He's like, oh, this guy's younger and just as fast. So, I mean, this guy's going to be great. So, you know, we'll miss him. We don't miss the other guy.
No, not at all.
Finally here on their list of the nine players who live up to the hype this year, Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously here for the Arizona Cardinals. And yeah, you would kind of expect that him too. Right. They're going from a team where they used to have, you know, a few years back, some good depth at wide receiver, but they never really got anywhere with it. They tried to do that whole mix with Hollywood Brown, like you said, trying to become that number one here for the Cardinals. But you also had Kyler Murray get injured and things too on top of it. So he's coming back healthy, has this guy who's a very special talent here, Marvin Harrison Jr., and You can only expect this is like a softball pitch. You're like, oh, this guy's gonna live up to the hype. You're like, really? That's your hot take on this whole damn thing?
Take,
like,
right?
Wow, blowing my mind right now. But Joe, what do you think about this one?
Well, honestly, I think who else you throwing to? Like he's going to be your jewel of the offense. Like he's gonna be fed a lot every single game. They're definitely going to make a statement with him. They're going to definitely try to inflate his numbers every chance they get. Kyler Murray's going to fall in love with a guy who's probably twice the size and height as him. Mm-hmm. He's going to love throwing to a wide receiver of that caliber. So I think the hype is real. The hype is always going to be there for him, especially being, you know, former son of an NFL great, and Hall of Famer. I just think that this kid is going to like kind of go nuts his rookie year. The team might not be that great, but he's going to have a great rookie year himself. And they do have, it's not like they don't have anybody else. They have some younger guys that are kind of moving up in the ranks. I know Dorich, the slot wide receiver, is someone to keep an eye on. He might be kind of like a catching nightmare for a lot of people that do fantasy football. Might be a guy to keep a look at for Greg Dortch. But also Michael Wilson, he's also coming into his second year as a wide receiver. Stayed pretty much healthy last year, and I know that was concerns for him, but had a good year. And he's hoping to build off of that too this upcoming season. But it's definitely going to be all about Marvin for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that was their list of the nine players to live up to the hype. But, Joe, are there any guys on this that should have probably been on this list that you could probably think of? I know for me, right off the bat, it's got to be Malik Nabers. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nabers right
there.
Why
wouldn't he on there?
Oh, I know.
Oh, I know why. Because everybody seems to forget about the Giants right now.
Well, they hate the Giants, you know. But again, we've seen this kind of effect here, even when Eli was having his bad, you know, towards the end of his career, you know, not so good.
Yeah.
When Odell was healthy and was there, boom, Odell lit up the league. And just like that, you know, I think Malik Nabers will have that same type of effect here too to this offense, because you've been looking for that number one for very long. And you know that these LSU receivers, I mean, there's key. So he's going to be doing very well here for these guys. I think he's going to live up to the hype here too. And he's going to make a push for one of the top wide receivers, I think, in the league.
Yeah, we just hope that, you know, he has less ego than Odell and just the production through the roof. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, stay healthy.
Yeah, that's probably the key thing, right?
If he can do those two things, I think that head and tails, he's going to be great for the Giants. So, yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that Malik Nabers isn't on that list because there was a lot of hype about him, and even so much hype that some people believe that he should have been ranked above Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. So there was that debate. So, like, I'm kind of surprised that Bleacher Report didn't put him on that list. Another guy that I'll say, too, is Chargers, Ladd McConkey, a wide receiver that I really loved coming out of the draft. And he's it sounds like from out of camp, it sounds like he's going to earn that starting job right away and is going to be a big contributor going across the middle, getting short passes, and then kind of just exploding and taking off, getting the yak. But also, I'll say Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is another offensive weapon that was highly touted going into the draft. A lot of people viewed him as a top 10 draft pick that people weren't expecting him to even fall out of the top 10. So for him to get drafted at 13, and I hope that, you know, like I think the Raiders got him. So they're going to have to get creative with him like Georgia had him. He's not your prototypical tight end. He's not your inline blocker. He's a guy that's very, very difficult to stay with, fast, has that strength, about 240. So utilize him in all facets of the game. So there's a couple that I would say right off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think those are two good ones right there off the bat without digging too deep into everything. But we definitely expect some of the other players out there to really live up to some of the hype that, you know, have been there about them. Again, CJ Stroud is another good one, but we'll see. It's going to be a long, drudging season. We got a lot to do. I know they're just gave up the dates now to when mini camps are going to be getting together here, and these guys are going to be joining up.
Mandatory. Must be there.
Yes, it's going to be crazy. And it's funny, speaking about camps quick, too, before we close and stuff, the hype, the overdone type of thing with Aaron Rodgers again. Mm-hmm. Now we're hearing maybe reports again, like, oh, it's not surprising that he might have even been out on another Ayahuasca retreat, and then, you know, that's where he was. And then that the teammates are fine. Again, that's why the media kind of blew it up. Oh, he's not there, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but he's got to work with these guys.
Of course.
We get that. But they also expect the fact that dude's been in the league for, you know, 15 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. Let him do what he's doing, especially if that's what he knows that he's doing. They know that's what he's doing. That's how he does his release and does his thing. They're kind of just like, dude, we're good. We're good like that. Let him do that and come back. Do you think that really is that case, or even if that is that a big problem?
There's like two opinions for this for me.
Right.
It's because you're with a new team. It's not like you're still with the Packers and everybody. Listen, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
That's no secret. But you would like to see a guy who's on a different team, a new team, literally played four snaps with them, really didn't have even half a season to kind of get ingrained in this offense. You'd like to see him there, and maybe we will see him there shortly for mandatory OTAs, or maybe they just might wait till training camp. As long as he shows up at training camp, I'd be okay with it. But like, okay, this guy's been there, done that. He's earned his time off. He's earned the ability to not be there during OTAs. You know, let's just kind of cut him a break. And we all know that he's going to come dialed in when training camp starts.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how I view it. But on the other hand, too, if I'm a player, even especially if I'm a new player, right? Like I want to establish some connection with them, some chemistry with them, especially these wide receivers, the offensive line, even the running backs. Like you would like to see a guy like that kind of get back into the flow of things and work some kinks out before we even get to training camp, and then you start doing preseason games. So, yeah, I could see it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But all said and done, it's Aaron frickin' Rodgers. So let's just cut him some slack. If he doesn't show up for training camp, then we can make it a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can make it a bigger deal than what everyone is right now.
Yep.
But you guys can find us if you're still hanging around. We really appreciate you guys. Thanks for the comments earlier in the show. Really appreciate the questions and the comments and the opinions and all that. But you can find us very simply. You can find us on grumblingsmedia.com. You can find us on rumble.com. You can also find us over on YouTube, Grumblings Media. Make sure you guys go there, hit that subscribe button. Also, hit the thumbs up, get them going. Drop more comments down below. We'll react later. Or you could even share it. Share it with a friend of yours that you think would enjoy a great football talk show. Because that's what we're here for. We're your football therapists, really. So help us grow this community of ours and everything. And anywhere you get your podcast, that's right. It doesn't stop there. Mm-hmm. You can also take us on the go. Anywhere, you know, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, we're always there too. Drop a follow and tune in. every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We will be right here. We'll see you guys later.